Susanna shrank back in her chair, the heels of her hands pressed to her ears, her face long with dismay, her mouth distorted in a silent scream. Eddie felt himself shrinking toward all the fantastic, hallucinatory terrors of 11. Had it been this voice he had feared when he and Henry stood outside the mansion that he had perhaps even anticipated? He didn't know. But he did know how Jack in that old story must have felt when he realized that he had tried the beanstalk once too often and awakened the giant. "How dare you disturb my sleep? Tell me now, or die where you stand." He might have frozen right there, leaving Blaine, Big Blaine, to do to them whatever it was he had done to Artis, or something even worse. Perhaps should have frozen, locked in that down-the-rabbit-hole fairy-tale terror. It was the memory of the small voice which had spoken first that enabled him to move. It had been the voice of a terrified child, but it had tried to help them, terrified or not. "So now you have to help yourself," he thought. "You woke it up, deal with it, for Christ's sake." Eddie reached out and pushed the button again. "My name is Eddie Dean. The woman with me is my wife, Susanna. He looked at Susanna, who nodded and made frantic motions for him to go on. "We're on a quest. We seek the Dark Tower, which lies in the path of the beam. We're in the company of two others, Roland of Gilead and Jake of New York. We're from New York, too. If you're..." He paused for a moment, biting back the words Big Blaine. If he used them, he might make the intelligence behind the voice aware that they had heard another voice, a ghost inside the ghost, so to speak. Susanna gestured again for him to go on, using both hands. "If you're Blaine the Mono, well, we want you to take us." He released the button. There was no response for what seemed like a very long time, only the agitated flutter of the disturbed pigeons from overhead. When Blaine spoke again, his voice came only from the speaker box mounted on the gate and sounded almost human. "Do not try my patience. All the doors to that wear are closed. Gilead is no more, and those known as gunslingers are all dead. Now answer my question. Who are you? This is your last chance." There was a sizzling sound. A ray of brilliant blue-white light lanced down from the ceiling and seared a hole the size of a golf ball in the marble floor less than 5 feet to the left of Susanna's wheelchair. Smoke that smelled like the aftermath of a lightning bolt rose lazily from it. Susanna and Eddie stared at each other in mute terror for a moment, and then Eddie lunged for the communicator box and thumbed the button. "You're wrong. We did come from New York. We came through the doors on a beach only a few weeks ago." "It's true," Susanna called. "I swear it is." Silence. Beyond the long barrier, Blaine's pink back humped smoothly. The window at the front seemed to regard them like a vapid glass eye. The wiper could have been a lid half closed in a sly wink. "Prove it," Blaine said at last. "Christ, how do I do that?" Eddie asked Susanna.
"I don't know."
Eddie pushed the button again. "The Statue of Liberty. Does that ring a bell?" "Go on," Blaine said. Now the voice sounded almost thoughtful.
The Empire State Building, the Stock Exchange, the World Trade Center, Coney Island Red Hots, Radio City Music Hall, the East Village..."
Blaine cut him off. And now, incredibly, the voice which came from the speaker was the drawling voice of John Wayne.
"Okay, Pilgrim, I believe you."
Eddie and Susanna shared another glance, this one of confusion and relief. But when Blaine spoke again, the voice was again cold and emotionless. "Ask me a question, Eddie Dean of New York, and it better be a good one." There was a pause, and then Blaine added, "Because if it's not, you and your woman are going to die, no matter where you came from." Susanna looked from the box on the gate to Eddie.
"What's it talking about?"
she hissed. Eddie shook his head.
"I don't have the slightest idea."